Angel 95, Jerry Q with you, and we're going to talk more Kingdom Factor here with Mark Queen. And, I got to be in my first tribe meeting the other day.
And what'd you think?
Well, it was a learning experience. I was great. I learned a lot of things, and I'm still absorbing some of it because there's a lot of action going on.
Did you encounter the Holy Spirit, do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's all about, God's plan for us, the Kingdom Factor.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that often comes out for the members is how robustly, if at all, they actually have a business plan. You know, I think inside of our culture, you probably, Jerry, inside of a radio station, if you can, tell me just a little bit about what it actually takes to get a license and to become a radio station.
Okay, and again, we're talking about a business plan here. We did all this in the beginning. You know, yeah. After a while, you're flying by the seat of your pants. But anyway, first off, there has to be an opening for a frequency or an existing radio station there. You can't just say, hey, I want to have a radio station.
Yeah.
In the world of podcasts, it's a little easier because you can just say, I want to have a podcast and pay for the internet, you know. But in radio and the real world of radio, you have to have a license to broadcast. And it varies as to your location. If there's an accessibility, most frequencies are already taken into town. Once in a while, people will try to manipulate things like the community or the frequency or something so they can get in an area. That happened to us once. We actually had a chance to sell the place because they were wanting to move the frequency to Topeka. And it didn't work out for them because they ran out of money. So
if you can apply and to get a frequency, so yeah. there's a process to get the frequency, and once the frequency is granted to you, now you have permission via the license to go ahead and build a business of what you're going to put on that frequency.
Yeah, and again, you have a choice. Well, you don't have the choice. It's what's out there, whether it's commercial or nonprofit. And fortunately, we were able to buy an existing station, which had gone off the air. They couldn't afford to keep it going. And so we were able to buy a commercial station. A lot of Christian stations are not commercial. They depend upon donations. Well, we found out a way that we could actually do both. And so that's what we do. We have a group that is called Heartland Christian Association, and they raise funds. But they also advertise and help us with our finances because just like any other advertiser out there, whether it's a bank or a car dealer or somebody like that, they advertise concerts and special events and that kind of thing, and that helps our income as well.
Okay, cool. So what you've identified for me there is that from a business perspective, you get permission to start, which is not all that dissimilar from somebody that wants to become a plumber.
Right.
You're going to need to start by getting some knowledge. You might become an apprentice at another plumber. You might need a license of some kind. So you go through the process to get a license, and boom, all of a sudden, you get to make the decision. Are you going to be an employee, i.e., let's just let's go with this theme of a plumber today. So you can become an employee of a plumbing business. Or, now that you've got that license, you could say, you know what, I'm going into business for myself, and I'm going to build something. Obviously, if you're going to build a business yourself, it makes sense that you might want to develop a plan. There's a scripture that says, you would be foolhardy if you didn't know the cost it was going to take to build your structure,
right? Yeah.
Okay, well, that goes into the planning that we as entrepreneurs need. And I think, I know I can give you lots of examples back in my life when I can tell you that I've met entrepreneurs that at best, they had a weak plan and it was only in their head. Can you think of folks like that?
Oh yeah, I mean, we did a little bit too. I mean, we had, when we started, we had meetings at three different towns around the area, see if there was the interest, see if people would be there interested in supporting it, whether it be a business or, contributing to it. And so then we sample that area and that market. And then, when we started, there were three of us. And within about 3 months, It was my wife and I owning the place. There were some business issues we had to deal with.
That is absolutely fantastic, because you might have had a really robust business plan of how what this was going to look like in the future. And by the way, when I think of the future and a business plan, I can think of, what do I want the long-term kingdom impact of my business to be? How do I want it to have an impact for God's kingdom? And that is a question right there that I think your listeners are going to wrestle with.
Yep.
They're going to be thinking about their plumbing business, their dog grooming business, their manufacturing business, and actually thinking about, what is the kingdom impact that our business provides? For most entrepreneurs, I don't think they've ever thought about it.
Yep.
They can be, and there is this very sharp distinction of being a Christian that owns a business.
Right. Yeah.
And then separating that to be a Christian who actually happens to own, but is more focused on being a steward of that business for God and thinking, what is the kingdom impact that our product and services can provide? So your example of in just 3 months going from three owners to one is an example of how our business plans must be scored, meaning we've got to be looking at what's going on with this business plan and what do we need to be to do changing it, because the world of business is constantly at change. And, you know, over the last 20 years with the advent of technology, you know, the way business is going to be ran is way different than it used to be. I mean, your radio station.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that Mark and I'd be sitting in a coffee shop in a private room on a telephone recording?
Yeah, and doing a podcast and going out over the radio station.
Right, yeah.
I remember as a youth us taking a tour of the local radio station where I grew up. You know, we went out, we looked at the DJ booth and all that, and I'm thinking, we're kind of sitting here in our own DJ booth today, aren't we?
Yeah, and I shot, in fact, my Facebook the other day, I shot a picture of where it used to be. I mean, there's a whole room full of tape machines and, you know, little cartridge machines and reel-to-reel machines. And then I showed what I really have now, which is a Mac Mini and a mixer and a microphone. Basically, that's what it takes to run a radio station.
I think I saw that picture with your brother Kay.
Well, he was in there too.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can. It's really evolved. I mean, and in a good way, the technology. But you have to grow with the technology. Also, I'll mention something else too: is the market. When you start out in this town, in this area, is very flexible. So you have to reinvent yourself every 2 to 4 years, because we're looking at college students we're trying to aim at, and we're looking at military we're trying to aim at. And so at most, you have those faces and ears for maybe 2 to 4 years, and then you got to introduce it to a new group.
So when we think about this concept of a business plan, that when we start, that plan may be loosey-goosey, may only be in our head. But when we think about last year's Super Bowl, and we think about who won, do you remember who won?
It wasn't us.
And we know that we didn't win for one reason, the score. And so when we have a business plan, that actually gives us the foundation to begin to keep score for our business. So we can think about technology. What do I want to have happen in the technology of my company over the next, I'm going to go back to our plumbing. What technological changes need to happen inside of my plumbing company over the next 10 years? What do those changes need to look like over the next 3 years? Maybe, matter of fact, what are those changes that I need to consider technology-wise over the next 3 months? People right now, we happen to be doing this podcast in the month of April, which is in the United States, time to file your income taxes.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there are people that I think would be thinking at that time, well, wait a minute, you know, I need business expenses so that I can mitigate what I pay in social capital straight to the government instead of me funding it locally to my causes that I care about. And so maybe their technology is something that they can be investing in to make changes. But holy cow, think about the millions of dollars you could spend on technology and be very wasteful. I mean, how many internet services do you need? You really need one, right? You don't need 17 different internet services going. So you can certainly oversubscribe to the cost of technology. But that goes to our plan that when you think about your business plan, there are different areas that can be developed inside of that plan. We use a tetrahedron, which is kind of a three-sided pyramid, to think about all of the different spectrums that we as entrepreneurs have to manage. Technology is one. We need to be focused on our legal issues. Do we have our companies buttoned up and our services provided? Are those buttoned up in a legal way? Are we marketing? And when we think about our marketing inside of our company, we've got all of the subtopics inside of marketing. What's our advertising? What's our social media campaigns? What do our web pages look like? What do we have for a raving fans program? What do we give to our top customers that they're not top customers just because they spend revenue with us, but they're our top customers because they value what it is that we do. And they go out there and they rave about the service that we provide. So when you can add to the other components inside of the business plan, what are we doing about our financial recording? So that's our accounting and our bookkeeping systems. And our sales team, if we've got sales managers and members, then what are we doing to train and develop them, as well as our staff that are collaborating with us inside of our companies? How are we training, recruiting, and retaining all of those people? Man, that's a lot. I feel like I need to take a drink.
Yeah.
and think about all of that stuff's inside of our business plan. And that plan can be very robust. But in my experience, when I look back over the levels of business plans that I've seen, they all start pretty simple. And as we grow and we really mature with our businesses, our business plan can mature. And I don't mean maturity in a bad way. I mean that we become wiser. We get some godly wisdom about what works. We get some godly wisdom about the way we don't want to do it. And oftentimes I think, Jerry, I've seen people that have figured out what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens by experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not that they go, oh, well, I don't want to get there.
Yeah.
They actually wind up getting put in the situation and saying, I don't want to do that. I bet you your ownership issue when mm-hmm. you started,
mm-hmm.
I would gamble to say that you probably didn't want it to go that way, right?
Right, no. Yeah. In fact, when I even started the place, I had really no intent to be fully owning it. I mean, originally somebody just said we ought to try to start a Christian radio station in Manhattan. I said, okay, I'll look around. That's as far as I got, you know. And I found the station that was failing. It wasn't a Christian station. It was, another station. And then we looked into it and kept waiting, and God provided because they weren't able to sell it, and we were able to get it for basically half price because we waited and trusted God. And, and that's what I've learned being a Christian, being a part of the Kingdom Factor that works. And no matter what kind of business you got, I mean, it's still part of the Kingdom Factor.
Yeah.
And that's what I find out about the group. I've had my first experience with the tribe, and each one of those guys is something operating something different than I do, but honestly, we all have the same problems and issues.
Yeah, absolutely, because we're entrepreneurs, right? So mm-hmm. although all of us have a different business plan, mm-hmm. we all have some of the same areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're a law office,
mm-hmm.
you're going to really be focused on legal issues, and you really may develop those inside of your business plan very deeply. And so there's two things inside of the business plan. We need to think, first of all, we need to think with width. What are the different areas? Let's think, go wide. We've got these panels on the room in
Soundproof,
front of us,
yeah.
and they actually could indicate, okay, there's my marketing mm-hmm. plan, there's my accounting and bookkeeping plan, there's my sales plan, all of these different areas. So we can think broadly, and we know that companies are limited in the resources. So it's not like if you start a company and you're undercapitalized that you are going to have a business plan that's going to have 27 width mm-hmm. bandwidth, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to be thinner than that. But just because you're thin doesn't mean that you can't go deep.
Mm-hmm.
when you're first getting started in your business, there's one thing that's needed right away, and that's sales. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about your width and your depth, it's like, man, I need to develop my sales department, and I need to develop deeply. And so many entrepreneurs, if they don't have a business plan, Jerry, can you relate to the fact that we get distracted?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Right?
Yeah.
You get ready to go out. You were going to have a phone call today or a sales meeting to bring a new client on board, and all of a sudden you got a phone call that your dog is out.
Right. Well, I was going to suggest the dog is he's a squirrel, but you get diverted your attention.
Yeah, so your attention gets diverted away, and we often don't start with a big enough team to help divert all of those distractions away so that we can stay focused. And so that's another very important part of our business plan is what do we want our staff and our team to look like? And as you develop that depth of that plan, you can end once you've gotten that plan, you may be even to build it out more robustly to sit down and think about, hey, maybe I should develop my staff and I should categorically inside of my plan begin to think about who do I want to be my internal team and who needs to be my external team? Mm-hmm. You know, if I want to get a message out today, mm-hmm. and do a podcast. Do I have to do it by myself, or do you know some smart people that can help me do that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, there you go, right?
Yeah.
So you're an example that I've said, wait a minute, I don't have to go learn, I don't have to get trained how to make all of that work, so I can develop my staff and think about the internal team versus the external, and I can collaborate with you just as openly and earnestly as an external member of my team, as long as you agree to collaborate with my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my own personal thing, I already have learned some things from being a part of the tribe, but I'm looking at a high school girl that's very savvy on social media, and I'm going to work with her to get me ideas. Of my age, I can still learn some new tricks, and that's what I'm looking at, having her help me.
Yeah, you know, when we were in our session, Jerry, how many questions do you think you fielded?
How many questions I've fielded?
How many questions
as
in
far as
the
business?
Session, when they began to pour into you, when you shared your conversation, and they hit you, do you think you got at least 50?
Oh, yeah, probably so. I've got to get them all together. I'm working on that still. But I tell you, I mean, it's like something you really don't want to do, but once it happens, your mind starts turning, you start appreciating the whole process. And I'll even be able to tell you more as we go along. But I mean, you know, I've already got my mind moving.
You know, the cool part is that so you did the session. We, if you will, we're tying in today's podcast to this business plan. Mm-hmm. And because you had a plan and you were able to share it, you were able to see some strengths and weaknesses that you were able to identify and reflect on it. And then you just said, you've already had this mindset that there's a change that I can develop and see if I can find a better solution.
Yeah.
And so you took the business plan, thought about its depth of what could be done differently, and now you're doing the most important thing, which is take an action. And it doesn't matter that this first person that you have on your mind that might be able to help you solve your social media issue that you're wanting to do, this new opportunity, is like, wait a minute, you know the opportunity is there. Now you're just trying to find a who.
Yeah.
Who's going to help me fill that? Mm-hmm. So when we think about this construct for your listeners, what does your business plan look like? Do you have it as wide as you need? If you don't have an element in your business plan, which I'm going to bet most of your listeners do not have this column of their business plan, kingdom impact.
Mm-hmm.
That if they haven't actually thought of how is my business going to have a kingdom impact, if they don't even have the category, there's no way they've developed it deeply.
Right? Yeah.
And so when we think about that business plan inside of our tribes, we know that this is one of the things that we're doing is we're pouring into one another so that when you come every month and you've got an area inside of your business plan, which might even be somebody coming to the tribe that doesn't even have a business plan, they need to develop it. Fantastic. Well, the tribe will speak into the different areas knowing and hearing about you of what they might think could be some key elements for you to reflect upon so that you then would go do your homework. And then guess what? We know that you're going to come back the next month and you're going to be able to admit that you made some progress. Here's what's gotten done. And the tribe is there to actually provide you that private, godly counsel to lean into one another's lives mm-hmm. and to bring the wisdom from all those different perspectives together so that we are able to make progress. You know, our tagline is that just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to do it by yourself, right?
Right. Yeah, well, sometimes we all try to think, well, it's not going to get done right unless I do it.
Yeah. So, Gary, we would like to offer anybody that would like to go to the website, www.corescore.net, and connect with us. We're happy to talk about these concepts with anybody and see how we may be able to serve them. There's a chance that there's an opening in a tribe. If they don't have one in their community, we certainly have the opportunity that we can open those up. We have a regional development plan of where we're looking to build out tribes. We're going to have 100 of them across mm-hmm. the nation. So we're excited to talk about any of these concepts with anybody and share the information, whether they're inside of a tribe or not. So that's what we're trying to do inside mm-hmm. the podcast. Yeah. We're giving some people some guidance, and hopefully that guidance, they're going to pick up a nugget or two and be able to move forward on it. And if they're stuck in any way, we just encourage them to go to the website, reach out to us, and make a phone call. We'll have a quick 15-minute conversation if need be. And if we need more than that, then we can discuss how we can help them.
And I think for me, at least, is I was kind of the guy that did all these term papers the night before they were due, you know, and it kind of pushes me to set some goals and when something has to be done by, and I need to have something definite. That's at least what I'm grasping in the beginning.
Actually. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a pretty serious level of accountability here in the group, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And the thing is, too, we've mentioned many times before in our interviews, is that there's nobody going to be competitive with you. I mean, like, I'm the only radio guy there, mm-hmm. And there are, you know, people in other professions. And if there's another radio person that wants to be in a tribe, then we'll create another group, another tribe.
Yeah, and that's critical. I had a conversation this morning with somebody that was doing some industry work. So they were working in the rural hospital environment, bringing rural hospitals together. Now, what was cool about that is they all knew each other's very connected problems. So let's just think patient care.
Yeah.
So everybody was able to rally around patient care, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were seeing it from their perspective of providers. Mm-hmm. And I asked that person, I said, you know, I'm sure you got some great insights, but how would have it changed the dynamics of that group if inside of your industry group, there would have been a patient there,
mm-hmm.
a surgical patient, a person that had went through surgery in those facilities?
Mm-hmm.
What would it have been like if there would have been a plaintiff's attorney in the room,
mm-hmm.
the people that sue hospitals?
Right.
What if they were actually in the room thinking about patient care? What if the ambulance manufacturer would have been in the room as well?
Mm-hmm.
What if the medical manufacturers would have been in the room? What if the pharmaceutical companies would have been in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would get so many different perspectives about, well, wait a minute, why would you put your pharmacy on the fifth floor of your hospital and your patients on the first floor?
Yeah.
You need medicine, you got to move it four floors down.
Right.
Why does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so these different perspectives, remember, it's not a you should do this, they're just perspectives that get shared.
I love it.
And the patient, if your patient had to go get the medicine themselves before they checked out of the hospital, you just made them get on the elevator, go up four floors to go to the pharmacy, and then ride the elevator down. And by the way, maybe your elevators are busy with emergency room people that have to get somewhere, or you're moving a surgical patient on an elevator. Do you really want somebody taking an elevator to go get their meds and holding up the elevator?
And they may have some sort of accessory, you know, walker or, you know, wheelchair, or something that's a little more difficult.
So that's the power of this type of approach, where we bring multiple industries together instead of being industry specific. So,
all right. Well, we'll talk again about some more things, but anything in concluding this little interview here about...
Thanks for sharing time with us today. If you've got some concerns inside of your company and you'd like to have a little conversation, please reach out. We'll minimally want to know what we can be praying for you and your company and the way to serve others. And as you go out today after listening to the podcast, just again, we challenge you, think about your kingdom impact. And remember, just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to do it by yourself.